Final hour of the program here. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Our boy Dede Lewis comes your way then with the Prep Sports Nation show, getting you all caught up on all things high school sports. Oren, by the way, ESPN2 is airing some high school football right now. So our boy Dede and Rusty and all them may be onto some greener pastures at some point if ESPN's getting in the mix. I can't see who the teams are from here. The TV's too far away. But it is a rout. It is 28-0. Looks like the home team is winning, and it's pretty cool that big high school football is airing on ESPN2.
So we got St. Francis Academy. That's D.C., Maryland area.
Okay.
Oh, this is a high school nationals right now. So, St. Francis versus Corner Canyon.
Any idea where Corner Canyon is? That sounds like an Arizona.
Yeah, that way it's Utah.
Okay, yeah. Hey, pretty good, Adam.
Yeah, close to it, yeah.
404-726-0929. Adam wants to talk Falcons. Adam, you're in the game.
He's gone.
Oh, let's go to Kareem. Kareem is up next.
Turtle, what up, my boy?
Kareem, what's up, man? Where you been?
Hey, man, I'm trying to get to the money, man, But I've been enjoying you and Orange conversation, thoroughly enjoying it. You know, real quick, man, when it comes to hot stove topics, I just wish and pray that Braves Holding would give Anthopoulos the purse. And I know that's wishful thinking, but I digress. Right? Hey, real quick, Turtle, man, you know, the whole Ray McCloud, Raheem, Ike Hilliard thing. I just kind of want to touch on it, right? I know you're kind of saying about, you know, what the players are coming out saying on social. You got to also keep in mind that there's a new era of athletes and young men in the whole. So they're going to always like and, you know, like each other social or got your back on social instead of, you know, the old school phone call. Not to say that they did. But if you just would allow me, man, with the whole Ike Hilliard and Ray.
Oh, well, Kareem, I was about to allow you, but your phone just cut out on me. 404-726-0929. Give me a call back, Kareem, and we'll be able to finish our conversation. 404-7. That was like poetic. That was like you couldn't have written that script better, Orin. It was like, if you just allow me for 1 second on Ike Hilliard and Ray Ray, 404-726-0929. All right, Kareem's back. Kareem, go ahead. Finish your point, man.
All right, can you hear me? Turn
yeah, I got. I got you now. Go ahead, finish up your point.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, man. So, sources close to this, right? And good source, man. Ike Hilliard and Ray Ray really took a liking to Ike. Ike was like a father figure to him. So, you know, he really had Ike had his back. But the reason Ike was scapegoated, man. What my source is telling me is Zach Robinson got a slick mouth, and he would get slick at the mouth a lot with Ike, and Ike would call him on his BS and the things that he was doing. And so, as we can see, 3 games into the season, Coach Rogers made this decision to fire a position coach, right? He sided with Zach Robinson, but it wasn't about the production on the field, because if you go back the prior year, you know, over 1,000 for Drake. Darnell Mooney was right at 990 yards, right? You know, so Ray Ray had a good year, 800 yards his best year. If the production was there, there was no way within a 3-game span that you could say, you know, it was a production deal, right? It was personal. It was a beef between Ike and Zach Robinson. That's what the whole thing came about.
Interesting. Kareem, appreciate you checking in. As always, man, nice to hear from you. Been a minute. Don't be a stranger. That's interesting. Listen, I don't know. Listen, Kareem, I mean, it's not personal. It's just I have no idea to verify what you're saying or not. But you're a very good caller. You're not somebody who, in my opinion, tries to stretch the truth or just throw stuff out there for no reason. So my tendency would be to believe you. because, you know, you've been calling my show and calling this station for a long time. And again, there's people who call just to try to give hot takes, and our boy Kareem is not one of those people. So we'll never know if it's true or not, because that, obviously that's not something they'd ever admit. But it's certainly an interesting theory they brought up from Kareem, that maybe there was some strife between the coaches, and because of that, Raheem decided that Ike's services were no longer needed. Let's go to Brad up next. Brad.
Hey, Turtle. What's going on, man?
What's up, Brad?
Glad to get in as a caller. I listen to you guys just about every night.
Thank you.
I've never had a chance to get in, so really love your show. First, want to wish a happy holiday to UNO and the whole family there at 92.9. Wanted to talk about Raheem. You know, I really like him as a person and think the players like him too. It seems like everybody likes his personality. This thing seemed like it was doomed from the start to me about all the collaborative process and, you know, how everything was going to be a team effort. I understand it's a team game, but at the end of the day, somebody needs to be in charge of the Falcons, and it doesn't seem like that's happening on game day. You know, I was listening in on Saturday and was blown away at how many people thought he was a good coach and thought it needed another year. That seems insane to me. And just one question for you. If you can think of one single game where you can remember him making a difference in the game in a positive way, I'd like to hear what that was.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brad. Thanks for checking in, and thanks for the kind words. I mean, if we're going to – I guess the thing to do in this situation, Brad, right, is if we're going to criticize him for all the losses and all the mistakes, then in games that they did win, it wouldn't be fair to not give him some credit, right? So, you know, last year, the Tampa game – last year or this year, the Buffalo game, like those two stand out. Like, again, Brad, if we're gonna give him the rightful blame that he deserves for coming up short, then, you know, the times that he has been successful and has been able, between he and the coaches, to put together a successful game plan, let's just be fair in that regard. You know, I have no problem, as you know, giving him all the necessary blame in the world, but, you know, I don't want to kick him while he's down. There have been some moments in the 8 wins last year and the 4 this year that, you know, the team has looked pretty good. Blake is up next. Blake.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Good to check in with you. It's been a couple months. Since I last talked to you, we collapsed, man. We were 3-2. It was right before the San Francisco game. But what's new? Anyway, this is a take that, let me put it this way. I want Raheem Morris to be no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But let me just give you a scope on what next year is going to look like and why, if he stayed, I wouldn't necessarily be mad at it. Because if you look at our schedule next year, let's be honest, Chris, the Falcons aren't going to fix everything in one offseason, no matter who the head coach is. And if you look at their opponents next year, I don't see a world in which they're going to be a good football team. You play the AFC and the NFC North. That looks like at least 6 of 8 losses to me, just with how this team plays. There's a good chance that if the Chiefs finish in third place in the AFC West, that's going to be their opponent out of that division. You think they'll probably bounce back and at least be better next year. Chance we get swept by Tampa tomorrow night, they'll be a good football team again next year. So my point I'm trying to say is, with us actually having a first-round pick next year, not to say the Falcons are intentionally going to tank, because it seems like we've been rebuilding for 8 years, but if Raheem Morris is your head football coach next year, you know he's going to find a way to lose his games like he's had the last 2 years, and maybe that does result in us getting an actual top 5 pick and resetting for the coach in a right spot, I guess, 2 years from now. So I hope he's gone, but if he is retained, being how bad the schedule looks for us next year, I honestly wouldn't be as mad as others would be, because I think we're going to be bad regardless, Chris.
Blake, that is a good call, but it makes me sad. What Blake just laid out there, man, makes me sad. Like, really? We're already thinking about 2027 at this point? Oh, my goodness. Why not? Nasir's up next. Nasir, go ahead.
How you doing, Turtle?
What's up, man?
Hey, look, man, we're both Jets fans. I'm from New Jersey. You're from New Jersey. I went to Dickinson High School in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. Got a scholarship to go there. Here's the thing. The Falcons is not a bad team, but I'm a Jets fan. The whole thing is the people here are so impatient. I thought New York was impatient. We're so impatient. The whole thing is Raheem, yeah, he's going through growing pains. Offensive coordinator, they're going through growing pains because they're first-time coaches in these positions. This is what I think. Don't yell at me, but just listen. You need to get somebody like Rex Ryan. Somebody's going to say, hey, look, we're going to make our team a running team. Drake London is a great wide receiver. We got great wide receivers. And not to mention people want to
well,
get rid of
Well, great wide receiver. We have a great wide receiver. Nasir, we have a great wide receiver. We do not have great wide receivers.
Yes, this is what I think. Mooney is good. Only can get him in the right situation.
He's not good.
I'm not
this
saying
year.
He's young and he's fast, but I'm saying he's good. And I think what we should do is be a little bit more patient, get somebody like Rex Ryan to come along so we can have an identity and then work it that way. But it don't take a year. It don't take sometimes 2 years. Sometimes it takes time. Coaches just don't pop in like we had before. When we had Q.
Well, how do you explain what Ben Johnson is doing? And I appreciate the call this year. Just got to catch a break here. Listen, how do you explain Ben Johnson? Right? How do you explain what Dan Campbell did or Dan Quinn did in Washington with a healthy Jaden Daniels? I know, you know, Dan Campbell took a little bit of time, but Oren, the difference between Dan Campbell and the Falcons is the Falcons had expectations. Those Lions teams that Dan Campbell inherited had zero expectations. That's the difference, Nasir, and to everybody else who agrees with him, that's the difference. And I've said this multiple times, the Atlanta Falcons had massive expectations, ending a seven-year playoff drought, ending a seven-year losing streak. The Lions teams that Dan Campbell inherited didn't have that. They didn't have that at all. Let's finish up this segment with Big D. Big D.
Hey, Chris, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, let me just tell you a story. I'm going to be quick because I know we're up against it. So I had bought season tickets, me and my brother, like the last 3 years of the Dome. And we had a great section, man. Love the section we had. But fast forward, they talked me into, you know, getting tickets for the Benz. That was cool. All the excitement of a new building, it was just great. Got season tickets. I had two seats. My brother had two seats. I kept the seats all the way to the last 2 years. So basically, I haven't had my season tickets in the last 2 years. But this is what I want Arthur Blank to hear and understand about what people invest. We don't just invest our time. You know, we invest real money. When I got those season tickets, Chris, the PSL itself was $2,000 per seat. So that means I invested $4,000. They don't went up since then, probably about 20-30%. I got tickets in the Bud Light section. So, like, section 119, row 25 or whatever. Now, that being said, I gave up my season tickets 2 years ago because this is the second year I had them. But here's the thing. You don't get that PSL money back. And do you know they call you every year to try to get you to reach up on your season tickets? I'm like, times are so hard, Chris. I couldn't even do it.
No,
my girl was like,
Big D, I got to let you run because now we're late. But, you know, I totally, Oren, I know that cliche. It's like, oh, they have such a losing product. How dare they call me and ask to renew? I mean, guys, this is their Big D. Like, I get it, but that's their job. You can just say no, right? I can't blame the salespeople and the team for just trying to do what they need to do. Now, if they're raising prices exorbitantly, that's a different story. But, you know, I think we're all totally fair to take our shots and be critical of the things that need to be made critical of, but you know, let's just keep it a buck. All right, let's keep it a buck. Next with Joe Patrick, he stops by. What's the latest from? Will McFadden, he stops by from Flowery Branch. What Will is there in the building every single day? What is he hearing and seeing about all this mess going on with the Falcons? We'll talk to Will McFadden next. But right now we're talking Falcons football. We'll take more of your calls in just a minute. If you're on hold, stay there. 404-726-0929. Right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com, Will McFadden. Will, there is so much to get into, but let's start with the on-the-field situation. No Drake London yet again. It has just been, I mean, my word, not yours, but a disaster at the wide receiver room, especially of late since Drake got hurt. Will, in to the best of your knowledge, where do the Falcons turn right now? I know they're using Kyle Pitts essentially as a wide receiver one, but somebody else has to step up.
Yeah, I agree, Chris, and I think, you know, the receiver, or what the team would tell you, is they're kind of looking for somebody to step up as well. And we all, I think, expected that to be Darnell Mooney. I still watching him out there on a play-to-play basis, like he looks the kind of the same to me, but it's just not connected this year, whether it be, you know, a low pass, a dropped pass, what have you. I really felt for him on that overturned touchdown, you know, or I guess incomplete pass, whatever it ended up being, because that felt like it would have been a real big kind of breakthrough moment for him. And that connection with Kirk would be okay, like two touchdowns in 3 weeks. Maybe it's coming back, and I expect Thursday night him to continue to get a lot of looks. But I would also expect, you know, Bijan Robinson had 100 yards receiving in week one. Like, I think you're going to see a mix of tight end, receiver, running back. In that receiver room, man, I think they're looking at David Sills to step up, who has, with a couple of touchdown catches. Dylan Drummond, you know, like, he's another guy that you've seen moments with him. But yeah, the room as a whole, I think, besides Drake London, you know, they definitely, coming into the season, I expected a little bit more from, and they need to kind of pick it up, I think, on Thursday night.
You mentioned Bijan out of the backfield. The Atlanta Falcons can't stop Vita Vea on a bet, and the rest of that defensive front, they just do not perform well against those bigger body types. What do you expect the offensive game plan to be?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you too, like, Vita Vea is playing really well in recent weeks. Like, he is in form. And so, you know, I don't know. The Falcons have been running the ball well up the middle. You know, like, that some big games in the last few weeks have been kind of right up the gut, a few trap plays. But history against Vita Vea tells me it's probably going to be more to the exterior. And that's basically what the Falcons have done in the run game anyway this season. Yeah, I don't have the most recent stats, but for much of the year, they have been by far the number one team in rushing outside of the tackle, especially Bijan. So yeah, I don't expect that to change too much, especially when you're talking about a guy plugged right there in the middle with Vita Vea.
All right, so give me the scene setter, so to speak, of what Flowery Branch has been like the last couple of weeks. I know Raheem has been his usual stoic self, but I can't imagine that there hasn't been at least, Will, and you're there every day to see it, somewhat of a vibe shift, maybe just in terms of knowing what's on the line, knowing the expectations, knowing the pressure. I mean, there's got to be some sort of reflection in that when it comes to the players and the coaching staff, or maybe I'm wrong. You tell me.
Well, you know, in today's press conference, Raheem seemed is kind of not like upbeat, because the reality, you're right. Like, the reality is what the reality is at this point, but you know, nobody's walking around with their tail between their legs either, I guess is probably the best way to put it. Like, at the end of the day, there is a real sense of like, this is everybody's livelihood here. And in a sport like this, you kind of have to be all in. Otherwise, yeah, it's kind of an old adage, right? In middle school, high school football, like, hey, run full speed. It's going to hurt less, right? Like, if you're the one receiving that blow, like, you better be moving as well. And so I think there's just that you have to be a professional and be in because of the seriousness of this game. And from the coaching staff as well, like, they are focused, I think, truly on finding these answers. Like, that is the sense that I have gotten from everybody. Again, the situation and the reality is undeniable, like, at this point. So it's kind of more, what do you do in the face of that? And I really do believe that they feel like this team is close. And I know it didn't look like it against Seattle, but for a while there it did. And I really kind of think it's like, we can figure this out and fix this. And if, you know, like that, I think is more like what they're really focused on is making sure that they do before the time runs out and they lose the chance to kind of keep trying.
Speaking of figuring it out, special teams with another disastrous performance against the Seahawks. And then we actually got to hear from Marquise Williams. What did you make of his comments? Did you feel like he had a grasp of what's going on with his unit? I mean, between block kicks and not being able to cover anybody on punt and return coverage to not being able to maximize the guy that they brought in this offseason and Jamal Agnew, it's really been a calamity of errors so far for the special teams unit.
Yeah, I mean, there really is no kind of way around that. It's been apparent, especially these last three games. But to answer kind of your question about Marquise is, in every conversation that I've had with Marquise Williams, like I have come away extremely impressed. You know, that I'm not going to disclose the details of it, but there was a conversation we had after the Dallas preseason game at Dallas. And I just like came away really being like, man, he knows ball at a level that's beyond special teams, right? Like he knows all parts of it. And that's where I kind of do then look. And if you're kind of watching the film, you can understand like where the scheme gets separated from what is actually done out there on the field. And yes, I do believe like at the end of the day, figuring like making sure everybody does their job is kind of the responsibility of a coach. But again, in this league, these are professionals and it is somebody's job. So there is accountability on the player as well. And that's where if you kind of listen to Raheem this week, like it sounds as though they are going to be taking serious looks at everybody's role on special teams. We saw Xavier Watts playing out there on Sunday. And to my eye, at least, I haven't really noticed him out there that much on special teams. I mean, you're talking about a starter on defense from day one. So they are taking a lot of looks at it. And again, it's just been so noticeable these last 3 weeks, but something that's kind of gone, I think, under the radar is the Falcons defense. So I guess we'll take away the kickoff return for a touchdown because obviously they weren't a factor in that. But against the Saints and against the Jets, they allowed just 3 points across those two deep returns that were like basically right up against your red zone or deep in your red zone. And I kind of think that that's impressive. I know the late game stuff with the defense has been kind of a conversation point and a little bit of a cause for concern, but there's no denying like when the game is in the balance and they're locked in, they're still really impressive, man.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy Will McFadden. Make sure you check out AtlantaFalcons.com for all of his work. Obviously, this will be something that we continue to monitor, and it's tough to comment on now because a lot of it is speculation and trying to read between the lines. But obviously, I'm sure you've seen by now Ray-Ray McCloud posting a lengthy Instagram post speaking to his frustrations this season and then ending that post saying that he was not released from the Falcons, or so we are led to believe that's what he's referring to, because of performance reasons, which was the quote that Raheem Morris gave after his release, was that Ray Ray's performance was what led to his dismissal from the team. And then you have players on the team like Chris Blair and Michael Penix Jr. Liking and commenting on the post. I guess the angle to discuss here, Will, is that it's just whenever something like that happens, not a good look for a team in general. And B, at a time when things are in such a dire position, I guess it sort of feels like this is the last thing that we need to be dealing with right now as the team tries to stay connected and finish the season strong.
Yeah, you know, Chris, like, honestly, I don't know more than anybody else at this point on this. You know, I agree it's not what you want right now, but frankly, I don't feel too comfortable speaking about this topic, right, given my nature and the role of my job. So, like, it is what it is, and people can have their opinions, but it's kind of not up to me right now to, like, weigh in on those opinions or how it's related outside of, yeah, obviously you wouldn't want to have a distraction like this at this point in the season.
Yeah, of course. And that's the only reason, you know, I know that given certain positions from certain people that it's not a topic where me and you would sit down and break down every line of the post and, you know, try to interpret what's being right. said there. That's not the point. The point is just to, you know, it would be silly not to acknowledge. It is a huge thing going on right now for the fans, and, you know, just to acknowledge that we do understand that it's going on. But even from where I sit, Will, there's, you know, what can I do? You know, I can't sit here and do anything other than read it, give my opinion, yeah. and keep it moving. You know, I don't have Ray Ray's phone number. I can't text him and be like, yo, my man, what message were you trying to send? And why do you have players on the team that are getting involved in the comments section? So it's just, I think, again, the ultimate point of it, Will, is that the timing is just really unfortunate given where the state of the team is right now. All right, a couple more before we get you out of here. Obviously, a huge game tomorrow versus Tampa. The Falcons have had a mixed bag versus them the past couple of seasons with a couple of highs and a couple of lows. We know what happened the first time this season. Given the state of the roster, given the players that are available offensively and defensively, what is the best strategy to get this one home?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm pretty confident of, Chris, is that it's going to be a tight game. Like, that's kind of the way it's been over the last few years. Definitely with Baker, you can't ever count Tampa Bay out. So I would expect, again, kind of a lower scoring first half. I do think – I wonder if Atlanta comes out with the same mix of run, pass, like who gets involved, tight end, running back. Like, that seemed to really click for them in the second half in that first game against Tampa. So if that, like, adjustment is made – a little bit earlier, I'm going to be kind of looking for that defensively. You know, I think it sticks in everybody's head what Baker was able to do in extending and then scrambling and picking up some crucial first downs in that game. So do you keep somebody like Caden Ellis, the spy, Divine Diablo, which they did at times in that first game? Do you do it a little bit more in this one? But obviously Tampa is not really playing at their very, very best at this point in time. They've lost four of the last five, and they do a Tracking the NFC South piece every week, and included in that is a quote from the head coach. And just reading through Todd Bowles' post-game press conferences every week, you kind of get the sense that there is a lot of urgency there, especially now that Carolina has tied them atop the division. So I would expect Tampa to come out, you know, really swinging early in this game and trying to, like, get a hold of it early. So I think the first quarter of Thursday night is going to be pretty big in this one.
Will, appreciate it as always. We'll be checking you out on AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Anytime.
Great stuff there from Will. Yeah, the Ray Ray stuff is just it's really the icing on the cake right now. The cherry on top. This is getting ugly at this point when you have your former wide receiver posting several posts on Instagram, the first one about how it wasn't about his performance and about the tough year that he's had being cut from two teams, and then a second post, you know, announcing how he's feeling, and you have multiple players from the Falcons, including Michael Penix Jr., up in the comments section sending love to Ray Ray, which is fine. But is that what this team needs right now? A team that is falling apart, does it need to be divided between players and coaches too? Probably not. When we get back, we'll let you hear from Raheem Morris and toss things over to Day-Day for Prep Sports Nation as we wrap up a busy, busy Wednesday Hump Day show of Chris Thomas Tonight. Last chance for romance here on a busy, busy Hump Day edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you for a couple of more minutes until our buddy Day-Day Lewis takes over. Oren, that high school game we were talking about, apparently the school that's in Utah is home to both Jackson Dart and Zach Wilson. Both went to that high school that is being
showcased right now. Not playing tonight, though.
No, well, but but
back pat right
well,
there.
With the state of the Falcons right now and the Sharon Moore news and everything else going on, I guess we could use a little
in our levity. Yeah. A little levity to break it up.
A little levity and brevity. Some good news for the Braves, though. If you missed it, they did sign right fielder Mike Yastrzemski to a two-year, $23 million deal. with a third-year option. He is essentially right now going to look like your fourth outfielder, which is cool. Very good option as a fourth outfielder, and a guy that can greatly contribute this year. He's good for about 240, 15 home runs, 50 RBIs a season. Doesn't strike out a ton, which is nice, and plays a good outfield. So he's 35. He's had a decent MLB career. Obviously had a lot to live up to with the name on the back of his jersey, but those days are not in his future at 35 years old. But nonetheless, a good addition for the Braves. They keep tweaking, and hopefully they'll make a splash or two. I asked Oren earlier in the show if he thinks either by acquisition of a contract that already exists in a trade or by signing somebody, the Braves will make a move to acquire a player that is worth $100 million or more. And I think the answer is no. I think the answer is no, because the only way that's going to happen now is if you go after a Framber Valdez type. And I think he's going to cost too much money for them. I don't think they're going to do it. They're going to play more in the Chris Bassett, Zach Gallen pool, which is where I think they're going to be. And those guys are, you know, mid to bottom of the rotation type pitchers. Gallen had some promise at one point in his career. He's been good, not great. And Bassett's been a stalwart. He was just most recently on the World Series contending Blue Jays. So we shall see. But I like the move along with him and Dubon. That's a really good start to a bench. That's a really strong start to a bench. So they just got to keep building with obviously Profar, Harris, and Acuna, barring anything unforeseen, being your starting outfield. Now you have a really good backup option in Yastrzemski, a guy that can be a really productive player and has been in his major league career. All right, before we get out of here, I'm not sure how many of us are going to agree or enjoy what we're about to hear from Raheem Morris, but he did speak again, and let's make sure we get you all the latest stuff from Ra. And he was talking about special teams and how he's going to be a part of that situation. And it's not just all on Marquise Williams, and it's not just all, you know, to a point now where, you know, we're putting guys out on an island and we're putting guys out to pasture. Essentially, he already said he's not going to make any more moves. So this is what he had to say about special teams and him being involved.
No, you know me well enough. Like, I'm kind of hands-on with everything. Like, it's a hands-on approach to all the things, and whether it's personnel decisions, whether it's what we're going to do, decisions you have to make within the game. I knew some of the issues we were having, you know, just talking about the Jets game, and that's tough to concede, given to the 35-yard line, but the one time I didn't, it hurts me. Yesterday, we come out, get some problems ironed out, we look really good in the first two, and then the third one happens. And the inconsistencies there is definitely something that I take personally. And it's always going to be a hands-on approach with really everything on the football team and everything that we say. Anything I come in and tell you guys we have problems with, it's going to be a hands-on approach with. It's never going to be a leave it. Leave it to whoever's responsible for it, first and foremost. It's always going to be a helpful mentality across the board when we have it here.
You know why I find that quote really ironic, Oren? How many fans have we heard from over these last few months that have called in and complained about just how inactive Raheem Morris appears to be on game day? And then you hear that soundbite. Oh, it's all hands involved. I'm always getting dirty and everything, single thing that we do. Then why does it look like on game day that you're on an island out there, coach? I don't get it. He did also talk about maybe some new guys getting a chance to play on teams, given all the issues with that unit.
No, I think you got to go out there and just show like what you're capable of doing and being very good at what you are. Being able to go do those things on offense, being able to go do the things on defense that we finished, and then really being on special teams, really recapturing the moment and finding out what you could have been and what you should be doing, and then actually, you know, finding some other people. You know, there's people out there that are going to get some opportunities that hadn't got them all year, and I look forward to watching those guys as well. So, like, and not to say that you're going out there, you're putting people out there that got to give you the best chance to win every single week, and some people earn some opportunities within the practice settings.
I don't know who that would necessarily be. Guys like Nash and Blair, the wide receivers, we haven't seen them yet. Maybe those are some of the guys that get a chance. But whatever they need to do to get this thing fixed between now and the end of the season is of the utmost importance, obviously. Now, Oren, here's the quote that's got everybody fired up. Here's the one that we took a ton of phone calls on today because Raheem Morris says Arthur Blank gives him full support.
he is 100% in support of me. Like, the support ain't an issue. You know, he is absolutely outstanding. And, like, his ability to listen to us, his ability to be there for us, his ability to be in it with us is absolutely 100% awesome. And, like, is everybody. It's all hands on deck mentality with the organization. And I can't say enough about that.
Okay. Does that mean your job is guaranteed for next year? No. So I don't listen. I understand why that sort of run its course and run the gambit over the last couple of days, that quote. But again, if the season finishes the way we all think it's going to, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. One more from Coach before we get out of here. He says, I'm not concerned with my personal situation.
It's not, you know, that for me, that's the price of doing business, right? You don't put yourself in these positions to worry about those things, right? They could, like, you as a leader, you got to stand up in front of people and answer the questions, the hard questions. And you also got to stand up and be a good example for you guys and how you go and finish things. And, like, you can't have difficulties in finishing and then go sell it to you guys, right? Like, you guys got this, it's the same thing, man. We got the same type of things on the line. And, like, for all of us, like, for us, it's like, let's go find the best version of ourselves. Let's go be that, because, like, it's coming. And, like, you know, when I look at guys, like, it's not hard for me because I look at guys like Bijan. I look at guys like Drake. I look at guys like Chris Lindstrom. And everything that I know that they pour into this football team, Jake Matthews, and everything you know they pour into this football team, you want to give it back to them. You want to give it back to them full fold. Kay Nellis going out there and, you know, hurting his arm and going back in and finishing that game. Like, those things matter to me. And those players matter to me. So, like, I'm going to go give them everything I got. So to be selfish and think about my own personal stuff, no, that's not right. I'm going to give these guys everything in this organization, everything I got.
Okay. I mean, to say that he's not thinking about his own personal situation, like, Oren, I almost wish he just would have said, yeah, I'm thinking about it, but I can't worry about it. So all we're going to do is go out and play our best football. Instead, we got that minute and 7 second rambling. Like, that's become the staple of Raheem Morris. And do I understand the sentiment of what he's saying? Yeah, but come on, man. You're not thinking about your own situation. Like, there's no need to do that. Yes, I'm thinking about my situation. How can I not? But it's team first, and we're going to go out and try to win every single game for the rest of the year. Boom! Oren, that's an 8-second soundbite. Good enough. Good enough. That's all we need, Coach. I don't know if that – I think that might be an old dog, new trick situation for Ra. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Day-Day Lewis up next. I'm with you tomorrow for the flyover. Win, lose, or draw. Talk then.
Night, 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 night